Our reading is from Luke and verses 25 to 37, and it's on page 1042 of the Church Bibles. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Thank you, Joy. It's always interesting coming back and preaching in the evening a sermon that you've preached in the morning, because it always ends up being slightly different. And sometimes, you know, it's not a difference that I plan. It's just the way the sermon takes me. And I don't know what the differences are going to be. So it's quite exciting for me, because I don't quite know what's going to happen, but I hope that it's good for you. And as you know, we've been doing this sermon series based on a short passage in Acts chapter 2, which describes the early church. And we're just unpacking it phrase by phrase and trying to learn from them, seeing how they did church, so that maybe we can do church slightly differently in the 21st century and perhaps go back to the way that they were. Because it was a time of extraordinary growth in the church. It was a time of extraordinary blessing. So the verse that I'm unpacking is, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Acts 2, verse 45. And I'm using the story of the Good Samaritan as an illustration. They gave to anyone. But who exactly is anyone? And it struck me that this question is very similar to the question that the lawyer asked Jesus in Luke 10:29. Wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Because the lawyer thought that he knew who his neighbor was. As far as he was concerned, he had mapped out the boundary lines of who fell inside and who fell outside. And his neighbor was anyone who was exactly like him, who believed what he believed, who followed the same traditions and religious customs. But how would Jesus answer his question? And Jesus answered, as he often did, with a story. And it started simply enough with a traveller going down from Jerusalem to Jericho who fell among robbers. And this would have resonated with the crowd because they knew just how dangerous the road was. and the man was stripped of his possessions and left for dead. And two religious people then pass by, possibly travelling in the opposite direction, going up to Jerusalem from Jericho on their way to the temple. And they both saw the man, but they ignored his plight and they went on their way. Because if they'd gone anywhere near him, they would have made themselves unclean and therefore unable to minister in the temple. As I said this morning, it was for them it was more important getting to church because they were on duty. Maybe one of them was doing the intercessions. Maybe the other one was preaching or celebrating. That was more important than stopping to help. But the crowd who were listening to Jesus wouldn't have been shocked. They would have regarded it as perfectly reasonable behaviour. But Jesus was about to challenge their idea of what it really means to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself, by introducing a Samaritan into the story. The Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans were not pure blood Jews. They had intermarried with non-Jews. They were mixed race. And so they weren't true descendants of Moses. And these two communities had been fighting for hundreds of years about land, about the right to worship, basically about anything. They were fighting. And actually, the area where they were fighting is exactly where Palestine and Israel is today. And so the fighting between the Palestinians and the Israelis is a bit of a mirror image of the fighting that went on between Jews and Samaritans. The Jews despised them. And Jesus had already shocked the establishment by being willing to engage with Samaritans. If you know the stories in the Bible, there's a story where 10 lepers come to Jesus asking to be healed, and one of them's a Samaritan. And interestingly, it's the Samaritan who comes back to say thank you to Jesus, and the other 9 go on their way. And Jesus stops one time when he's traveling next to a well. Then there's a Samaritan woman sitting by the well. But for a start, Jesus shouldn't talk to a woman when he's on his own. And to chat to a Samaritan woman is just out of the question. And even the Samaritan woman knows it's out of the question because she says, "Are you talking to me? You know, what do you think you're doing, Jesus? Why are you talking to me? Jews and Samaritans don't talk." So here is Jesus making the Samaritan the unlikely hero of the story. And 5 things distinguish the Samaritan from the other travelers on the road. First, he gave the injured man the gift of his full attention. You see, it wasn't that the priest didn't see the injured man. It wasn't that the Levite didn't see the injured man. They saw him, but their eyes were closed to the man's suffering. They weren't moved by what they saw. They couldn't get past him quickly enough. They were too busy with their own affairs. They were too absorbed by the importance of what they had to do that they couldn't stop. And they especially didn't want to get their hands dirty, quite literally. And this made me pause to think about my own busyness, about how things in my diary sometimes prevent me from turning aside to help others. And in all honesty, sometimes it's fear. Sometimes I'm afraid of what might be required of me in time and effort. And that fear stops me from taking the first step. And I'm not proud of the occasions when I have avoided looking, when I've avoided engaging, when I've been more concerned about myself than the other person. You know, we all put walls up to insulate ourselves from other people. Especially we put up walls against the people we don't want to see, but that we don't want to recognize, that we don't want to know. And God wants to take those walls down. He wants to soften our hearts. He wants to recalibrate our priorities. Because in God's eyes, there isn't a difference between the people on the inside and the people on the outside. God looked at the Samaritan and he looked at the Jew and he saw them both exactly the same. He loved them both exactly the same. And that's what God wants to change in us, where we see people as the other, and where they're kind of outside the limit of who we care for, of who we want to share our time with, of who, yeah. We all put limits on who we accept, on who we love, who we want to give attention to. God wants to soften our hearts so that no one is beyond the limit, whoever they are, wherever they are. And the Samaritan gave the man more than his full attention. He gave him compassion. When he saw him, he took pity on him. There's a song we sing, and I can't remember which one it is, which has a line, "Everyone needs compassion. The something of a saviour." Sorry? It's mighty to save. Everyone needs compassion, something of a saviour. Kindness of a saviour. And you know, we carry that compassion and that kindness in us. So if everyone needs it, everyone needs to be offering it, so that the people who need it get it from the people who are offering it. And sometimes it's enough just to notice someone and to listen to them with compassion. And we can all learn to do this. I think sometimes we don't engage with people because we're scared we don't have the answer to their problems. But actually, when you have a conversation with someone who's struggling or who just wants to talk, just wants to be heard, usually they're not expecting you to have the answer, because usually if it's something big, it's too big for a simple conversation to be the answer. They just want to be heard. And if we provide a compassionate space for someone to be able to articulate their pain, that's often far more powerful than we realize, far more healing than we realize. So maybe today, maybe this week, ask God if there's someone that he wants you to notice. And wait and see who catches your eye. Wait and see who catches your eye. And it may be that it's enough just to say good morning or good afternoon. You know, if it's a complete stranger, it's slightly random to talk to them. But even just to say, "Hi, how's your day?" To talk to the girl at the checkout who might be having a rotten day. Just to honour them as a person. My children always used to say, "Mum, why do you talk to the people at the checkout?" And I said, "Because if you've ever worked at a checkout, it is quite soulless being an invisible person that people are rude to. And it's only if you've worked on a checkout," which I should think quite a lot of us have worked on a checkout in our time. It's so wonderful when someone actually says, "Good morning, how are you? Thank you." And it was only after my children did temporary jobs working on checkouts that they understood. And now they talk to people on the checkout. So that's really great. But it's that kind of thing, just noticing people and caring for them and being compassionate towards them. But sometimes God might want to point you to someone for something deeper. And this happened to me last week. I was at a conference. I was really, really tired because it coincided with my looking after our two grandchildren for a few days. And because they were at nursery, I was able to get to the conference. But I was absolutely shattered because I'd been up three or four times in the night with the little one who'd taken ages to get to sleep and then kept waking up. And ironically, my daughter got back, and the day after my daughter got back, two molars popped through. And so obviously the little one had been in real pain with her teeth. But of course, when you're 15 months, it's very difficult to say, "Grandma, my teeth are hurting." So yeah, it was, she struggled with her sleep. And because she struggled with her sleep, I struggled with my sleep. And you're going to get the joke, which I didn't tell at 10:30, but I was so tired, and this is a true story. I actually sent an email to a Church of England website saying which buses are best to get to baby ballet. Because I thought I was emailing my daughter, and I clicked on the wrong email and put reply. And I'm doing a Lent course, which the Church of England are doing online. And so every day I get an email from them reminding me to do my Lent reading for that day. And I clicked on that email and reply, which buses are the best for baby ballet? And I thought, I haven't had a reply. And it was only when I went through my sent emails to delete them that I discovered that that was what I'd done. That's how tired I was. And I didn't intend to do anything except enjoy the worship, enjoy the teaching, and receive whatever God had for me. But during the ministry time, my eye kept getting drawn to a lady who was over there, the equivalent of over there. If I was sitting here, she was over there. And I thought, why do I keep seeing her? And I knew God wanted me to go up to her and offer to pray. And I was having a bit of an argument with him, you know, the sort where you say, "God, I'm really tired. I'm not in the mood to minister to anyone. I don't want to pray for anyone. Why do you keep showing me that woman?" And then eventually it gets, "Okay, I get it. You want me to pray for her. I know you want me to pray for her." And I went over to her and I said, "Would you like me to pray?" And actually, she suddenly poured out this really difficult situation. And I just hugged her and listened to her. And at the end, I said, can I pray? And I didn't pray much. It was just a very simple prayer, just asking God to surround her with his love and to give her the wisdom to find the way through the situation. But it actually blessed me to be a blessing to her. I went back to my seat feeling blessed because God had used me to bless her. And this is the thing, when we bless others, we are blessed. And the third thing the Samaritan offered was practical help. Unlike the others who walked away from the injured man, the Samaritan walked towards him. Where the others did their best to avoid him, the Samaritan drew close. Here's the thing, our instincts tell us to avoid difficult situations, don't they? If you're in a, if you see a situation, sometimes every instinct says, keep away, keep a distance. But sometimes God challenges us to do the opposite, to walk towards that situation. And you know, the Samaritan and the Jew, they were enemies. So the Samaritan was getting over his natural prejudice to help an enemy. And who knows, you know, the man might have sworn at him for coming close to him, might have retaliated, although, frankly, looking at him lying there in the road, I don't think really he would have cared too much who stopped to help him. But this Samaritan stepped himself, he stepped over the limit to help the injured man. And he bandaged his wounds, he poured oil on them to soothe them, wine to act as an antiseptic. I think he poured it on the skin rather than gave it to him to drink. He put the man on his donkey and then took him to an inn where he could be cared for until he recovered. And I love this detail in Jesus' story because the Samaritan shares the responsibility of caring for the sick man, which would have meant he could go on to complete his journey and finish his own business. And Kerry talked to us last week about the church sharing things in common, about our being a family, and that we all have different gifts and strengths which we each bring to the situation, which we each bring to the community. So the Samaritan initiated the man's care, but he then involved others later on. So he noticed the man, he had compassion on him, he offered him practical care, he shared the responsibility with others, and he offered financial help. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. You know, sometimes that might be the contribution that God's wanting from us. We get so many calls, don't we, on our money. But maybe there's something in particular that God wants you to do, so that if you see a charity on television that's asking for money and you're really moved by compassion and you think, oh wow, they're really in need, aren't they? But you don't actually do anything about it. And God might be saying, well, why don't you just send them £5 or a couple of pounds? That might be what you can do. And the Samaritan made arrangements to follow through on the sick man. You know, he said to the innkeeper, I'll pay you for any extra cost. I'll come back. You know, if you spend any more, I'm going to pay you back. It's really challenging because in our world we like quick fixes, don't we? Yeah, I'll do something and then that's it. But actually, long-term care is much harder. Long-term commitment is much harder. But the Samaritan followed through. He was obviously going to look after the man until he was completely better. I just think God wants to encourage those of you who are in situations of long-term care, long-term commitment. And he just sees what you're doing and he loves it, but he loves you more. He loves you just for who you are. And that he's just saying, some of you just need to step back a bit and rest and lean on me. And give yourself moments just to allow God to pour his strength and his grace into you. We can't do it in our own strength. Jesus regularly spent time with his Heavenly Father in prayer, and that was what sustained him in his ministry. We need to be sustained. We can't do it by ourselves. The thing about this story is it challenges us in so many areas. You know, if we'd been walking along the road, what would we have done? Would we have stopped? Would we have turned around and gone backwards and perhaps found a route round the other side of the hill so that we didn't even have to walk past the man? What would we have done? We all have things that we're afraid of. We all have prejudices. We all have busy diaries. We all worry about the expense of getting involved with things. We all have prejudices, you know. The person who is my Samaritan, the person that I perhaps don't want to engage with, will be different to your Samaritan. In fact, I might quite like your Samaritan. Let's do a swap. You can have mine. No, I'm being a bit silly now. You can tell it's getting to the end of the evening because I'm getting a bit silly. But here's the thing. We're all challenged. We all have people that we find a challenge. It's a challenge to love them. But God is trying to remind us that everyone is our neighbour. Everyone is our neighbour. Anyone is our neighbour. And Jesus didn't meet the needs of everybody he met. He couldn't. It would have been too much. But he was a very prayerful man. And I can imagine him waking up every morning and saying to God, God, show me the one. Show me the one. Which one do you want me to stop for? Because he didn't heal every sick man, but he healed a few of them. He didn't heal every blind man, but he healed a few of them. And there were certain times when he stopped and certain times when he moved on. And he would have been praying about it and saying to God, who do you want me to see? And just suppose it this week, each one of us said to God, who do you want us to see? Who do you want us to bless? And the same number of people as are in here would be blessed. Now, each one on our own can't do it. But all of us together, each blessing one person, can. And I think above all, God's challenging us not to make judgments about people and not to judge them on their appearance or on their ethnicity or on their creed, what they believe in. Sometimes we've got all sorts of prejudices. People we struggle with, people we find it difficult to spend time with. But I think God's saying, I love them all. I love you, but I love them all. And it's a real challenge, but I think it's a challenge that he wants us to really think about and think, who are the people that I treat as other, as I treat as beyond the limit of what I can do? I've got a film, which is a very short film, but I'm hoping I'll be able to click onto it and it'll work. And it's about a Baptist minister who goes out on the street in Reading. And in the morning he's dressed as a vicar, because he is a vicar. And in the afternoon he's dressed as a homeless man. But essentially, he's asking for help in both morning and afternoon, and it's a bit of an eye-opener. And sometimes the people who help him and who respond to him are actually the unlikely ones, and sometimes the likely ones are the ones who reject him. But I think God wants to say something to us about how we judge people and how we don't give them the dignity that they deserve. So let's just see if we can get it. This is the guy, Sam King.
Well, I'm going to be out on the streets of Reading and asking people if I could use their mobile phone. First dressed as a clergyman, I'm a Baptist minister, and then later on this afternoon I'll be dressed differently, and to see whether people respond differently to me or the same in both circumstances. Excuse me, I wonder whether you might be able to help me. I'm waiting for a friend here and they haven't turned up.
Right.
I'm wondering whether you might have a phone on you. I've left mine behind.
Yeah.
And if I could just ring him. That would be very, very helpful.
You know, I'm a practicing Muslim, so I think it's really important for me to be a role model, particularly in today's climate.
Thank you very much. No, that's okay.
I don't want to lose this phone. No.
That's okay, that's no problem at all.
Someone else comes.
I come from a different kind of culture, and in my culture, we do trust and we do help whoever asks for help. So it's again, it's in my nature, it's in my blood to help. I can't say no.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. No problem.
Cheers.
I'm so sorry.
No, don't worry. Thank you very much, anyhow. So it's lovely to meet you.
Andrew.
And God bless you too.
Andrew. Sorry, I forget something.
I do look at the appearance as well, so it might have helped the fact that he's a vicar, obviously. But the idea is to help people who need help, really.
There's an element of this signifies something, and it signifies an element of trust. And it will be interesting this afternoon when I dress differently to see whether the same applies or not. As soon as I suddenly put my makeup on and I walked into the bathroom and I looked in the mirror, I felt bad about myself. I have a sense of a lack of self-worth when I go out on the street. Excuse me, sir. I wonder whether I could give you £1, because I'm waiting for a friend. And I was wondering whether I could just use your mobile phone to make a call. Excuse me, gents. I wonder whether you could lend me a hand. I'm waiting for a friend. Is it possible I could just use your phone?
I've got no money, sir.
No, I want to give you some money. Have you got a mobile phone on you?
No, I haven't. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Excuse me, sir. I wonder whether you could help me. I wonder whether I could give you £1. Excuse me, madam. I wonder whether you could help me. I'm waiting for a friend.
I think you've got to be a bit wary nowadays, if I'm honest. You know, I'm very happy to point someone in the right direction of something, but to give someone across your mobile phone, I think you've got to be a little bit cautious in doing that.
I'm waiting for a friend here, and he hasn't turned up.
Oh, is he not?
No.
Oh, that's a shame. Well,
and I was wondering whether you had a mobile phone and I could just make a call. I could pay you for it.
No, I'm sorry, but there's a phone box around here, isn't there? Phone box. Of course there, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
Just out there, I'll sit down for you.
Thank you. I could pay you.
No. What makes you think I've got a phone?
No, I'm just asking if you have.
No, I don't.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm waiting for a friend, and
No, just get to it, bro. What do you want?
Whether I could use your mobile phone or not, and I could pay you some money.
No, you can use it. What do you want? Give me the number. Right there. So if it rings, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Who's this then?
Sam.
Welcome to the O2 Messages Service. It's a pleasure. God bless
you,
brother.
Thank you for trusting me. How come you trusted me?
Because, well, I'm just keep it real. Everybody deserves a chance, don't they?
Thank you
so
much.
God bless you, man.
And you.
Stay cool.
Yes. I wonder whether you could help me.
I said no.
Excuse me, ladies. I wonder whether you could help me.
I can't.
Okay, thank you. Excuse me. Excuse me, sir. I wonder whether you could help me. I wonder whether I could give you some money. So use a phone.
Sorry.
Just to make a call.
No, there'll be a phone box around somewhere.
I've tried the phone box and it's not working.
Sorry.
I'm waiting for a friend. Okay. I wonder whether they give you a pound.
And I'm very surprised that people haven't stopped for him.
And I was wondering whether you have a mobile phone on you that I could use just to ring him. Let me give you that pound first. No, go on, take
it.
You sure? Thank you very much.
I don't know, it's just £1. It didn't change my life.
Tom, where are you? I've been standing here ages by...
Being a good Samaritan is not all about maybe doing the big things for somebody else. It's just the little things as well.
That was really good of you to trust me with your phone.
It's okay. It's only a phone.
Yeah, but the way I look...
It doesn't matter. What somebody looks doesn't matter.
Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
I have never in my life, I don't think, experienced what it is to be the other. I actually find myself being quite moved by some of what went on out there. Those small acts of kindness that I experienced were amplified, if you like, because they meant so much more in a climate where everybody else was telling me they didn't want to have anything to do with me. And actually what I craved when I was out there was just the relationship. It wasn't so much the ringing of being able to ring somebody on my phone. It was, I need to engage with people and I need them to love me for who I am. And really, until you've experienced what it's like to be the other, it's very hard for us to know
for me, it was the fact that this guy was only out on the street dressed as a homeless man for an afternoon. But obviously that was enough to really shake his sense of identity, to shake his sense of self-worth, to just the constant rejection and people walking past him and ignoring him. I did get a couple of comments after the sermon this morning because someone said to me, you shouldn't have shown that video because it's encouraging people to hand over their mobile phones, and if you hand over your mobile phones and they nick it, you can't then report it as stolen because essentially you've given the person your mobile phone. So this comes with a caveat. I am not encouraging you to hand over your mobile phones. The point of the video is to illustrate how we judge people based on sometimes on their appearances or on their circumstances, but actually it was the same man in both morning and afternoon, and it's a bit of an eye-opener, isn't it? So I think that God, what God is saying is that we have people that we instinctively find difficult. It may be, you know, it may be homeless people on the street. We don't know how to react to them. I'd say it's always a safe thing to do to ask them if they'd like a cup of coffee or like a sandwich, if you feel nervous about handing over money. But it might be that you feel awkward around people who have a disability or who struggle with mental illness or are in a different situation to you because you feel you don't know what to say to them. And I think what was apparent from the film was he'd said, I just want connection. I just want that sense that I'm loved for who I am and that I'm worth something. So I'm just going to finish with a prayer. Father, will you help us to recognize our own prejudices and recognize when we're pushing someone out or holding them at arm's length. And Lord God, help us to be compassionate and open to the people that you send our way. And thank you for the people in that video who stopped to help, who had soft hearts and open hearts. And Lord, bless them. Bless them for being a blessing. And help us to be blessings to those we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.